live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. Crossroads Sports Radio, college basketball preview show. Brandon Reif, Jonathan Birdsong, Nick Peterson's going to join us momentarily. JB, college basketball season is here.
Man, on a special Monday night, you know.
It is.
We still got to do another show on Wednesday. Not to talk about this one, but yeah, special college basketball show tonight. We're going to talk a little area basketball, local college, Purdue, IU, Ball State, Indiana State, and I know, you know what I'm saying, we're also going to tackle the top 25. Man, I can't wait to jump into it.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a great, great show this evening. All college basketball. We figured there's no better time than right now. College basketball starts this Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving. And it's kind of a wonky season, I guess you could say, for everybody with the amount of games and conference you're playing, some of your non-conference games that you guys are playing. The way I've looked at the schedule for most teams, John, and I've been looking through my Bible book for college basketball, some teams are only going to play like 22 games or 23 games for the whole season. So it's going to be a small sample size, and we'll talk that over with Nick Peterson, our college basketball guru we've had for the last couple of years when he joins us here in a couple minutes. But yeah, it's going to be great. We got the season starting Wednesday night. Purdue Boilermakers are in a tournament on Wednesday night. They play Liberty in their first game, I think, at 6 p.m. So we got the Boilermakers going down south. Who the Hoosiers have?
Unfortunately, Brandon, I don't have the schedules in front of me, man, just because I knew that was like a, you know, a TBA, to be determined type of situation, man. So I don't even have the schedule in front of me.
I got you all set up. Who's playing Tennessee Tech Wednesday night at 8 o'clock? So, yeah, State of Basketball fans, you can watch the Purdue Boilermakers at 6. At 8 o'clock, afterwards, you can watch the Hoosiers. Also, I do know Butler plays Wednesday night against Western Michigan at 6 p.m. as well. So the Butler Bulldogs will be in action. There's actually a lot. I mean, there was 87 games scheduled, John, for Wednesday night or Wednesday day and night, starting at 2 p.m. for some of these games. There has been a few cancellations. Right now, Tennessee is on hold. They have not canceled their game yet. Tennessee had some COVID issues. But Duke and Arizona, both of those teams have canceled their season openers due to some COVID restrictions. Duke did not have it with them. It was Gardner Webb that had a COVID test. And then Arizona canceled. They were supposed to play in the 2K Empire Classic in New York City. They've canceled as well. So we are going to have some cancellations, just like college football, John, and NFL. COVID's going to run its course, and we're going to have some cancellations. So hopefully we can make these games up.
Yeah, and then, you know, there's still the hopes of the tournament to be the All-State Indiana, you know what I'm saying, Final Four that's kind of proposed to be held here in the state of Indiana. So, the conference is going to have to figure out the preseason and figure out their remaining season's games and determine the champion to, you know, kind of figure all that out. I don't know, Brandon. There's still going to be a whole lot of speculation. I am kind of disappointed in the entity that is the NCAA, the governing body that is the NCAA, but as much as I can praise them for trying to make some things work. It's just kind of like, man, like, you know, you kind of can see the challenges of what you had to deal with as far as putting the season together, as far as COVID, you know what I'm saying, is concerned. So you had time. I just don't mean, I figured that you had time, whether from the, even if, and I know we talked about this before on our previous shows about conferences kind of being on their own deal and not necessarily being under the umbrella of the NCAA. But every time something goes bad, or infraction happens at a school, the NCAA comes down on them. Well, I think during my personal opinion, during this COVID time, like, man, the NCAA should be like, hey, man, this is what we got to do in order for you to, for everybody's conference to get through, you know what I'm saying, and have a season.
Right.
So, you know, as we know, the Ivy League said the hell with it, you know what I'm saying, they're not going to play, you know what I'm saying, everybody over there is smart anyway, you know what I'm saying, so they're going to try to deal with travel and whatnot. But it, I don't know, man, like, you know, I mean, Brandon, we and you have been covering this, and we are by far not biologists by any manner of the imagination, but our show is impacted by things like COVID because, you know what I'm saying, we can't be on sidelines like we used to. And though everything is still, you know what I'm saying, you can either Zoom it or you can watch it through on screen or you can watch through your phone, it's still not like not having to be there. So it's impacted us all. But, like, I feel like, you know what I'm saying, we're smarter now. We should have known that we should have had to, like, bubbleize our states or our cities so that we couldn't to restrict travel. Get the
right
games in, but, you know what I'm saying, just say, hey, man, you're just going to have to play. You're going to have to find an opponent in your state. How many – and, you know what I'm saying, the world's basketball crazy. You know what I mean? At least in the Midwest it is, you know what I mean? Any team could find, you know what I'm saying, a team within the conference. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. But I thought there should just be more thought to it. But
right.
As it is, we're just kind of going to trip through a season. And I think we'll get to the Final Four for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, obviously, they canceled the March Madness tournament. NCAA lost a lot of money. A lot of people lost a lot of money due to no tournament. You knew damn well the NCAA was not going to not have a tournament this year. They were going to do whatever they can to get it. As you said, they're going to try to have the whole thing, hopefully, here in the state of Indiana. I think it'd be awesome for this one time. I've heard even people say it should be here for the entire time, always. But I think it can go around. But, yeah, here in Indianapolis, it's going to be great. And even if you might not have any fans. But, yeah, you knew the NCAA wasn't going to let this cash cow go away for another season at all. So, all right, John, we got our guy, our college basketball guru, analyst Nick Peterson on the phone. Nicky Petey, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
Good. College basketball is here, my man, starting Wednesday night.
Yeah, it's amazing it's back after such an abrupt and sad ending to the season last year.
Yeah, absolutely. We were just talking before you got on, Nick, just kind of with COVID, you know, John said the Ivy League's not having their season. The Patriot League is going to open their season late. They're going to start, I think, in January, I saw. Tennessee right now is on hold with COVID, and you've got Duke and Arizona that have already canceled their season openers, but we still have 80-some games scheduled for Wednesday night. And I told John, this is going to be one of those things where, with COVID, you're going to deal with cancellations and have to be rescheduled games, and it's a smaller sample size this year because the game schedule, you're not playing 30, 35 games prepping for the NCAA tournament. You might be only playing 24, 25 games.
Right. Right. It's going to be a crazy year, as we all know. We're all used to it by now. But, yeah, you know, some teams are going to only play maybe 20 games, maybe even fewer than that. You know, some will play their full complement of, you know, 26 to 28, I think, is where most teams are hoping to get to. So the nice thing, though, about college basketball is, you know, obviously we have the selection committee, right? So they already have a job of analyzing the teams. Now, this is going to throw a wrench into it, but at the end of the day, you know, Selection Sunday is going to get here, and they're going to have a job at hand that they always have. So,
right.
And in a certain regard, I feel like it's business as usual in that regard.
Okay. Well, guys, we have 356, well, less than that now with the Ivy League not playing, but Division I teams. We got three new teams of note in the NCAAs this year, guys. Bellarmine, which I've known Bellarmine. Nick, you may know Bellarmine. John, I'm not sure if you know them, but down by Louisville, they were actually a D2 powerhouse. They played against one of my first schools before Ball State, University of Southern Indiana, all the time. So Bellarmine now has been moved up to a Division I. They're in the Atlantic Sun Division or Conference, I think. Gentlemen, new one I like, Dixie State Trailblazers. What conference, and actually, what the state are they, would you think they were located in?
Mississippi.
Okay, John?
Like I said, Tennessee.
They are in Utah. Randomly, Utah. The Dixie State Trailblazers in Utah, their first season in the WAC. conference. And then also Carrollton College is another that is moving up to the Division I ranks. And then also UC San Diego. So you have San Diego University. You've got University of Cal, obviously. And then now you've got University of Cal San Diego as well, now a Division I program. So a lot of new ones coming in this year. Don't know. I doubt any of these teams make it to the NCAA tournament. We'll have to worry about them. But I just thought it was interesting when I saw Dixie State as a new team up in Division I. I said, where are they from? They got to be somewhere down south with Dixie. And then, let alone, they're out west in Utah. So,
who would have thought?
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, guys, let's dive right in. Preseason. Let's talk a little preseason top 25 poll that we have. I'm kind of going off of my Bible here. I got the Blue Ribbon College Basketball book. If you need college basketball, that's a great book. Nick, I know you've heard of that book before. Yeah. And then also Ken Pom is, obviously God when it comes to college basketball rankings and statistics. So let's look preseason top 25. Really, Gonzaga, Villanova, places I've seen, those two teams have been the top of the tier going into this next season. Obviously, Gonzaga had an amazing run last year. Probably, some people would say, it would probably be their best chance to win the NCAA tournament last year before it ended with COVID. Any thoughts, Nick, with Gonzaga, Villanova, that topper echelon of the top 25 there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the third team, too, would be Baylor to throw in that category as well. I think those are sort of the consensus top three right now. But, I think in a way it's maybe not really great for the game because none of those teams are – I mean, maybe you could argue Villanova, but none of them are really national names. They're all very regional, very local-based, teams. So not really the blue bloods that we're used to seeing, Dukes and Kentuckys and Kansas up there at the top. So, in my opinion, I kind of like it better. It makes for, more wide open year this year, but could hurt some of the ratings, especially with everything that's going on, obviously not only in the world, but even just in the sporting world with everything, schedules getting shifted around and just craziness, hard to really truly pay attention to this college basketball. I think, most people don't start paying attention until after the first of the year anyway. So it's probably going to, be even amplified this year, would be my guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at there, Virginia at number 4, Tennessee at 5. Sitting there kind of looking at that, Tennessee coming off a down year with Rick Barnes as their head coach. They did all right last year. Wasn't as I'm trying to bring up their thing right now and it's not loading. Anyways, you got Kansas there at 6. The Big 12 looks loaded. Very, very. They may be the best conference in the league this year.
Yeah, I think, part of it, there's only 10 teams there. So they're just very highly concentrated. When you get 5, 6, teams that are really good and the conference is only 10, you're going to be playing day in and day out. You're going to be playing some of that top tier. And, it's good for their conference, certainly. I think the Big 10 and the Big 12 are going to be your top two conferences this year, top to bottom. And, but my one team actually coming out of that Big 12, I actually have one team who I think is a little bit overrated out of that conference is Kansas. To me, I'm seeing them actually take a little bit of a step backwards this year because the team that I like out of the Big 12 this year is Texas. I think Texas, they really defend well. They're a top 5 defense, according to Ken Pom, coming into the season. And they picked up a top 10 recruit, big guy from out of Austin, Texas. But Greg Brown is his name. He's going to be a beast. They already had. I mean, they've got these guards that can defend, that can pick you up 90 feet. I like Shaka. I like Texas this year. That's my sleeper team this year.
Okay. Yeah, we've got obviously they lost Kansas, lost Devin Dotson. As a Buki, they lost as well. They're trying to reload. We'll see what Bill Self and them, you know, they've won, what, 10 to 12 straight Big 12 titles. So we'll see if Shaka, who has hair now. I told John, I sent John a text a while back. Shaka Smart's got hair now. Maybe that's what's going to change it around there, because John's been calling for Shaka's head with the underwhelming performance. John, thoughts on Texas and what Nick said?
I don't know, man. I don't know if Texas is ready to take that mantle of if Kansas is just dominating over them. But like you kind of said, Brandon, they've lost a lot. Kansas lost a lot with Azubuike going to the NBA. You know what I'm saying? They've lost a lot. So and they're a team that obviously retooled with McDonald's All-Americans again. You know what I'm saying? Texas was on. Did Texas not go to the NIT last year? I thought, they had plans on going to the NIT last year. Or no, they were NIT champs. I know that for a fact. So like, when you think about Texas, man, his program is finally – it's still weird for him to be in that – for me, it's weird for him to be in that region. But, you know, it's a good coaching travel. So, again, I'm totally good with it. He brings great culture of defense and like I said, picking up at 90 feet, like Nick said. So, but again, this is weird that he's in that region. You know what I'm saying? He seems like an East Coast guy, so why he ain't in the ACC is always a head scratcher to me. But I'm glad Nick said Texas and not Baylor, because everything ever out of Baylor always been a fraud to me.
Oh, You know, we can call him Jailer if we need to, the Jailer Bears.
Well, I'm gonna take the high road. I'm gonna take the high road and just say fraud.
Hey, guys, look, surprise teams for me. I got two surprise teams and a fraud team for me. And Nick, real quick before I guess I do that. Yeah, you mentioned the Blue Buds. Duke at number 9. I have Kentucky at 13, North Carolina at 17. So, yes, and Kansas at 6. But, yeah, some of those big names that we see year after year, they're not up there this year. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. A team that I look at, guys, and to me, it just looks like a bunch of frauds, and I just can't see them being an Elite Eight team or a Final Four team, but everybody seems to love them, is Iowa. I can understand Illinois, but I can't understand Iowa.
I knew you were going to say it. Well, it's all Luka Garza, right? I mean,
well, they do have
preseason player of the year.
Yeah, they have two. Luka Garza is a preseason player of the year, not only for national and for the Big Ten. They also got another forward. I'll jack up his name, man. I don't want to mess up his name. But they also got another forward who's pretty darn good up front. Their guard play is still just a little bit too suspect. I mean, that's what you need. I mean, I get Luka Garza. We can all fall in love with Luka Garza because he's got a mean drop step, and you know what I'm saying, he's a great finisher around the rim, you know what I mean, and I think the reason why he returned is because I think he kind of needs to work on his face up game and definitely his defense, right? Athletically, he might be a little challenged, like, you know what I'm saying, if we think Luka in the same way we think Mo Gardner, then you know what I'm saying, his time in the NBA is going to be short. You know what I mean? As far as playing time. I'm saying he's an NBAer for sure, but I'm just talking about playing time. So I just kind of worry about. I was going to win games. There's a lot of teams that wish they had two big guys like Iowa has, but their guard play is going to. I kind of question their guard play, and I wouldn't necessarily say they fraud, Brandon, but like get to a Final Four and Elite Eight, yeah, for sure. Now with those guards.
The thing with Iowa is. You know, I look at Luka Garza, obviously National Player of the Year, and he's a huge part of this team. What happens with this team runs with what Luka Garza can do. But when's the last time a solid big like that, I guess, led his team? You obviously know they have great – usually you have a great guard player, a good stretch forward that sit there and is your main guy. When's the last time a center was the national center of attention? I was trying to think back of some – I think a Sean May in 2005.
No, you got to say Anthony. You got to say Anthony Davis.
Well, right? Yeah, Davis in Kentucky.
But he ain't Anthony Davis.
No, he's not. No. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, no, I agree with you though. I think Iowa is probably a little bit overrated. I think, you know, people look and see National Player of the Year. Well, then he's got to be on a contender, right? That's just what everybody assumes. And right. I do like Wieskamp, a really good player too. And they do have very good, you know, solid role players around him. You know, so I don't want to cut short what the rest of the Iowa roster is. They're still a very good team, but I agree with you guys. Once you get to end of the tournament and, you know, athleticism really starts trumping things, you know, good guard play, like you said, Reap, you know, starts trumping things. And, you know, and that's not – neither of those things are Iowa's specialty, athleticism and guard play. Agreed.
Yeah, all it takes is somebody posting up Garza and getting two quick fouls on him in the first – 3 minutes of the ball game and a turn in the tournament. Yep. And then what, you know, they got two guys I like, and I've been watching actually three guys, newcomers, Aaron Euless, coming in from Chicago. He's actually the brother of Tyler Euless that used to play at Kentucky. He's on that program. Tony Perkins is another name. He's a freshman, averaged 18 points a game last year over here at Lawrence North High School here in Indianapolis. So Tony Perkins is out there now. And then Keegan Murray is another 6'8 freshman, scored 20.5 points in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. That's another big name coming in. Yeah, Fran McCaffrey, I can't trust him. I don't know if it's just all the years of watching him or what.
Another name to watch out for Iowa, too, is Jack Nungy, yep. However you pronounce him. He was hurt last year, but he's coming back. He's big 6'11 guy. So, you know,
from Newberg.
He's going to be the perfect guy to plug in, and they don't lose that size advantage. So, you know, yeah, I still do like Iowa. And when it comes to Big Ten basketball, Iowa's going to be right there in it for a Big Ten crown this year, no doubt about it.
Yep.
But when you're talking tournament, they might be in a little bit of trouble.
Absolutely. Well, rounding out real quick, the two teams I liked this year, kind of going into rounding the shape, I liked – Where are they at? Three teams, excuse me. I liked Illinois, Brad Underwood and that team. They were a tough-nosed team last year. I think they've just gotten better. They're going to prove it. I think I would rank them higher than Iowa. But obviously, when you have the National Player of the Year candidate, he's going to move up a little bit higher than that. I also like UCLA. And I know John's going to shit on me for this but Mick Cronin's getting his guys out there, John. I know they started out rough last year, but they won 11 of their last 13 games heading into the tournaments last year before it ended. Cronin's got guys in there now. Watch out for them. They're preseason ranked right now, number 16 out there. UCLA back on track.
They need to be. And I'm glad Cronin's got them going in the right direction. Pac-12 is going to be probably UCLA and Arizona State.
Okay.
I was just curious, is the Pac-12 even playing basketball this year?
Well, they didn't do it last year, so we'll see. Let's see, guys. Let's dive in. I guess let's go into our conference here. Let's go Big Ten. We'll end the show later this evening with just an eyeball who we think is going to – who our random prediction is to win the national title. Because we always have to do that at the College Basketball Preview Show. But with the Big Ten, guys, looking at that, last year we almost were looking at 9 to 10 teams possibly getting in last year before the end of that season. Obviously, I think it's going to be a little bit less this year with those teams getting in. But you look at the top of it, Wisconsin. As strong as Wisconsin is right now, they're the top-ranked Big Ten team coming in at 7. They bring, I believe, everybody back. I don't think they lost a starter.
That's correct. Yeah, all 5 starters are back.
So that itself is going to be a feat for Wisconsin, who always ends up playing. You know, I can sit there right now and I could probably see an Elite Eight matchup between like Virginia and Wisconsin. And it's just a slow 50-52 ball game coming in down with the final minute to go.
Right. Why does it seem like Wisconsin always brings back 5 starters? It just seems like year after year they've got 5 starters back.
I know, right? It does seem like that with them. And I'm trying to bring up their sheet right now that I had because I thought I was trying to figure out if they were more top heavy with juniors or seniors this year than they were.
They've got starting five is all seniors this year.
Okay, so this is the year.
Trice, Dixon, Ford, Reavers, and Potter. Potter, he's a transfer from Ohio State. So they got, five seniors. I mean, all serve the role. They're going to be good. There's no doubt. You know, we talked about Iowa. Wisconsin, just again, another just team that's molded for Big Ten basketball. That's what they're made for. They're going to be great in the conference. I mean, going up to the Kohl's Center, I don't care if there's fans there or not, is going to be a tough, tough place to play this year.
Yeah, now, absolutely.
My team to win it, though, this year, is a team that, I mean, year after year they win it, or they're up there, but I feel like they're flying under the radar a little bit this year, is Michigan State.
I knew you were going to say that. You're that or Indiana. I knew you were going to say one of the two.
No, not the Hoosiers. No, Michigan State, I mean, shit, they still have the best coach in the conference, hands down. There's no question about that.
Right.
Aaron Henry is a beast from right here in Indianapolis. That dude, he's going to be, you know, second team all Big Ten, I believe. Probably not quite first team this year, but right there in the mix. People are forgetting Josh Langford, who's been hurt. They're getting him back. He's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Hauser,
yep,
transfer from Marquette, who you watch, he's going to be right there. You plug in Rocket Watts, you plug in, you know, 7-footer Marcus Bingham in there as their big guy this year. I'm telling you, I mean, people are sleeping on them. And then they got plenty of role players off the bench too that are going to come in.
Coach's
Michigan
son.
State again. Year after year, they're there.
Yeah, and they're still going to be good, but even losing Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman, two guys coming in
right
there. Now, I'm hoping Aaron Henry has a good year this year, because I got roasted, I think it was last year, when I saw him play, and I put on Twitter that he reminds me of a younger version in college of Paul George. And I got roasted for that last year. But he has that similar ability. I mean, I know he's a couple inches short. He's only 6'6", but he has that shooting range, and he has that game full of athleticism. And I'm hoping now with him coming in here another year that he can kind of step it up and be that leader for Michigan State that they need.
Brandon,
yeah.
He also has that ability to disappear.
And that's Paul George. Like.
There you go.
In big games, man. No. I don't know. I like, for every reason that you guys said that you like Michigan State, I like Michigan State for those reasons too. I didn't necessarily have them on top of the – I think it's going to be a dogfight between them and in Illinois and Iowa. The middle of the pack is exactly what it is. It's muddy. It's going to be thick. IU's going to be in there. I think Purdue is probably going to be – whew, man. Boilers. If the Boilers has any type of depth up front, you know what I'm saying, they would they surely can call upon him, man. Trayvon Williams is going to be if he gets in foul trouble. Like, I don't know what kind of experience they got up front. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
The top, like I said, you know what I'm saying, the top of the Big Ten is for sure Illinois, and like I said, Wisconsin and Michigan State, and then like I said, after that, it's like who can your system, can your culture. Can they win games for you? Because there's a lot of parity in the middle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Michigan, I think they took a step back last year with Juwan Howard in there. But you look really, and this is kind of, I think this is a filler year for Michigan because, you know, just keep your pace, get the guys some experience for this year. Probably be middle of the pack. I'm thinking I got them between 7 and 10 this year in the division. Or the conference, excuse me. And then next year, they got the number one recruiting class in the country coming in next year to Michigan. So I think they're really just trying to get through this year, get ready for next year with COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't sleep on them this year. They're still going to be pretty good. But I agree. Michigan, to me, seems like the team that they always have a good point guard, right? You look backwards, you know, Xavier Simpson's been there the last several years, Trey Burke back in the day. You know, they always have that good point guard. They always have a good big, some big dude that's good. And then they've got a couple wings, you know, like they just always have a good complete team. They play well together. And now obviously, you know, Howard year two in the system. Yeah, I agree. I think the arrow is actually pointing up for them. You know, as far as years to come. So,
yeah.
My biggest
go ahead, John.
My biggest issue is that the Indiana Hoosiers, though I just said everything's going to be in like muddly in the middle, man. Nobody is willing to believe in like some of the new additions.
I believe in them, John.
Well, good. That's one guy.
And that's tough for me to say it.
But with Brunk coming back, Finney's back. I mean, Rob Finney coming back. Alder. I mean, these are all guys that started. I know the Hoosiers on a bubble, right? Last year they would be, borderline. Were they gonna make it still again last year? Nick and you are spot on. Yes, the best coach is still not in Bloomington. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, but he's got enough talent. Returning, and he's got enough talent that came with walking through the door. Between Trey, I mean, dude, I love them. Like what they can do, I think they're gonna be great college players. I'm not saying they're gonna be great NBA players or lottery picks or even second rounders. You know what I'm saying? But between Christian Lander and Anthony Leal, Mr. Basketball, and you know what I'm saying, who's probably the best shooter out of all of them, and then you got Trey Galloway, you know what I'm saying, athletic guard. You know what I'm saying? I can say all these guys are gonna be great. You know what I'm saying? So long as they can, you know what I'm saying, get into effect. They were the shooters that they kind of needed last year. And each one of these guys, their biggest problem, is going to be taking their high school game on the road with them and having to deal with pressure and having to deal with, you know what I'm saying, actually, you know what I'm saying, like, you know what I'm saying, defense is picking them up, you know what I mean, differently. So, but yeah, I like the Hoosiers to be top of the middle of the pack. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with everything you just said. I've got them ranked number 5 in the conference, actually, going into the year. So
that's what I got.
So, yeah, I do have them right behind that upper echelon of the 4 teams we already mentioned being, you know, Michigan State, Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin. I think those are your top 4. I do. I've got the Hoosiers right there at 5, just behind that tier. And for a lot of what you're saying, now the biggest reason for me is Trace Jackson Davis. I think that guy is going to have – I mean, he already had a hell of a freshman season that I don't think many people were even really talking that much about. You go look at his stat line. I mean, I think he was like 12-8, a couple blocks a game. I mean, for a freshman in the Big Ten, that's pretty damn impressive. So I actually have him first team all conference this year. I've got him defensive player of the year in the Big Ten this year. So I got big expectations for him. And the team as a whole, you know, I think the biggest question is exactly what you mentioned about the Boilers, depth in the front court. You know, I really like Jackson Davis, obviously. I do like Bronk for what he is, and I like Grace Thompson. Outside of that, where's the depth on the front court? But the rest of the team, I think the other big question from last year was their shooting. Like you mentioned, Leal and Galloway can both shoot the ball. Lander can shoot it. So I think they've addressed that. And I actually think, you know, even Fennessy and Durham and Hunter, you know, those guys, they can all shoot. You know, it's not that they can't shoot. They just, you know, I think need to get in a rhythm. And I think they will this year. I agree. I like the Hoosiers this year.
Yeah, and like I said, you guys are going to call me crazy. I have them ranked 5th in the conference. I like the Hoosiers a lot this year as well. You said Trace Jackson Davis. If you get him, and we talked about it last year, and everybody listened to us, we talked about it so much. If you get Trace Jackson Davis the ball, IU's going to win the game. He had 11 double-doubles as a freshman last year, and IU was 10-1 in those games. I think it's pretty obvious the guy needs to have the basketball touching it every possession. Whether he shoots it or not is another thing. You can get other guys open. They can double team him, but he needs to touch the ball, because if you go 11 double doubles and you're 10-1, by God, he should be the focal point. And hopefully Archie Miller is a smart enough man to see that, and they'll continue that. And they're going to run a fast pace. I believe they're going to run a fast pace offense this year with the amount of shooters you have and running the floor. I mean, you're still bringing back Al Durham, Rom Finney, and Armon Franklin. That's 3 guys right there as well that can shoot the ball well and transition.
And run.
So I like them. Yeah, I love it.
Teams that, you know, want to get up and down the court. Everybody on the roster can run, so might as well use it.
Absolutely. Now, looking up, let's go up north real quick to Purdue University. The Boilers, Last year, a rough season for Purdue. You know, they were most likely going to be an NIT team. They were 16-15, 9-11 in the conference. During this offseason, they did lose. They lost Matt Harms. They also lost Nojel Eastern. Eastern went to Michigan, and he didn't get in with the missions, and he went to Howard University. So, like you said, John, the Boilers, everything's around Travion Williams and what kind of progression he can make. Obviously, he had a big leap last year. Can he continue it, or is he going to plateau? Looking at guard play, Eric Hunter Jr., right now he's out still another 4 to 6 weeks with a knee injury. But Sasha Stefanovic is back for shooting the three ball. As long as he can keep shooting, you got Isaiah Thompson in there for Purdue, the other guard. Aaron Wheeler returns. He was a wing, could shoot the three. Probably needs to get a little more size on him to continue to play as much as he did. The biggest thing was they set out last year Brandon Newman from Valparaiso. He averaged 27 points a game last or 2 years ago in high school. He set out last year redshirted. And then they also got Mason Giles from Newcastle. Those are going to be two freshmen coming in this year for Purdue. Newman's second year, obviously. That's going to come back and show some good guard play for the Boilers. They also added a 6'6 guard, Ethan Morton. He doesn't do anything real flashy. It's kind of like we've all talked about in the previous shows, guys, where how the guys that Matt Painter gets, they're not the flashy type, but they fit the system well. And you know, that's why how he goes out and recruits. Jaden Ivey's another one, 6'4 freshman coming in. And then they got the big 7'3 dude, Zach Edney from IMG Academy in Florida. We'll see if he can come in and help Travion out if they play him. If he ends up getting a lot of minutes, I think they were talking about redshirting him, but I don't think they're going to. The fact that, you know, who else are you going to put in there if Travion gets hurt? You know, you need to have another big guy in there for that, for the Boilermakers. So it's going to be interesting. I've got Purdue right now 8 or 9 in the conference. Kind of a down year for Purdue. I think obviously they come back next year is the year they're looking for. Obviously they've got two big recruits coming in. And then now today they just had the third new recruit coming in for 2022 with Fletcher Lawyer coming in from Homestead High School and out of Michigan. So Purdue, I'm going to say 8 or 9 middle of the row this year for the Boilers.
Yep. Yeah, I think you're spot on with basically everything you just said about them. I agree. I got them at number 9 in my rankings right now. I mean, I will say Travion Williams, that dude is a beast. I mean, he reminds me a little bit of Swanigan. You know, I think he's he's even more. You know, he's got that tenacity that Swanigan didn't have. You know, he's good. He's gonna be competing for first team all conference. There's no doubt about that. They can get Hunter back. I mean, that's huge for him, having him out. I think he could have been a big leader for this team and, you know, kind of been the go-to guy, the guy with the ball in his hands the majority of the time. I still like Stefanovic, Wheeler. You know, I think they're going to be a good team. They're a Matt Painter team. I mean, you can't count them out. So,
right.
You know, they're going to be right there. I still have them going 500 in the conference, and that puts them right there on the bubble, in my opinion. Yeah, they're a bubble team, even at number 9 in the Big Ten. So I don't think it's, you know, it's not a year where you got to be, you know, too disappointed being a Boiler fan. They're still going to be competing. They're still going to be out there, you know, with a possible NCAA bid out there. So.
Okay. John?
Right. When I think about Matt Painter, I think about culture. That's kind of what he drives. That's how they've been so successful. So off the show, man. So like when me and Brandon kind of talk about who was going to be the next Pacer coach, and they didn't. Hell, it didn't seem like the Pacers didn't know who they wanted. I told Brandon, I said, why don't they call West Lafayette and get Painter, man? You know what I'm saying? Like I said, it's all about culture. So. Again, maybe not a lot of flashy names, but, you know what I'm saying, this year it replaced some of those guys who chose to go elsewhere to take their talents right, whether it be, you know what I'm saying, Harms and Eastern or whatever. But, like, the guys he has are culture guys, and we know they're going to play defense. You know what I'm saying? We know that's – I mean, you know, we know they're going to play defense, whether – you know what I'm saying?
And
what – And actually, man, I'm you know what I'm saying, with some of the versatility, I'm not kind of, I said I kind of worried about Trevion Williams going out. I mean that in a not necessarily a death perception, but like, man, he's their best player. Like, you know what I'm saying? If he ain't, like, kind of say the same thing we said about Trayce Jackson-Davis. If Trevion Williams doesn't touch the ball, you know what I mean? You know, or is in the game to get a clutch rebound or whatever, man. You know what I'm saying? The Boilers aren't winning. They're also going to have some issues. I mean, I don't say issues, but there are also going to be some questions with them. Is, can they win a road game, right? Mm-hmm. Or can they and where does that – they lost Proctor too. Where does that outside shooting come from this year? So, no questions about culture, no questions for me about defense, but definitely no questions about the play of Trevion Williams, but definitely questions about, like, man, where's that scoring going to come from?
Okay.
Outside.
Okay, perfect. Looking at other Big Ten guys, just, you know, news and notes. Obviously, Hoiberg has another year coming in. Nebraska had a lot of guys out last year with transfer issues that were trying to transfer in that were ineligible. So I expect Nebraska to improve than what they were. Penn State's probably going to take a step back. You know, obviously with the allegations of Pat Chambers, what was going on there at Penn State. You know, they're taking another step back. Rutgers is going to take a step up. You know, Rutgers, they beat Purdue at Purdue last year. I was at that game when they beat Purdue. Rutgers is going to continue to improve. They've got Ron Harper Jr. in there still in that backcourt for Rutgers. They're going to be a good team to watch. I think, you know, a team that steps back, it shocked me just to see how much they've lost and stuff was Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got them all the way down to number 11.
Yeah,
they're gonna fall way off. They lost Jalen Smith and Cowan, both. You know, right now, honestly, their top three players are all like 6'5", 6'6" wings. So what do you do? You know, those are the top three players. You don't have a point guard really. You don't have anything down low. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think I've never honestly been that impressed. So
yeah.
I think all that's a recipe for a rough season there in College Park.
And if I look at somebody getting fired this year, it's got to be Chris Collins from Northwestern. I think this was probably his last run there. I think his contract is up at the end of this season, I believe.
Yeah.
So
I mean, how do you recruit to Northwestern in college? You know, I hate to say it, but it's an uphill battle for them every year on the recruiting trail.
Mm-hmm. Swinging over real quick to the Big East Conference, Butler Bulldogs this year. Rough season last year for Butler. Butler was 10-8 in the conference, just 2 games over 500, 22-9 overall. But they're only returning 2 of their 5 starters this year. Obviously, they lost their big name, Kamar Baldwin last year with him being a senior. But now you got Aaron Thompson's coming back, and then you got Jair Bolden as your top main two guys coming in there for Butler Bulldogs. The latest thing I see has them at number 8 prediction in their conference this year.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's a little bit of a year in transition for the Bulldogs this year. Like you said, I think losing Kamar Baldwin, just the leadership that he brings to the table, you know.
McDermott.
And you know, you're talking the Big East. I mean, this isn't Horizon League basketball anymore. You know, you got to be reloading year after year, and you know they're still going to have some talent, but yeah, it might be a little bit of a tough year, unfortunately, for the Bulldogs this year.
And the fact that the Big East got UConn back now, UConn's back in the Big East this year.
That's right.
So, and UConn's looking big.
Belong.
Absolutely,
yeah,
they should.
That's a real favorable preseason ranking. Them got Butler at 8. in the Big East. I mean, I get it. Butler's going to play hard, and with all those Marquette, I don't know if Marquette is going to be any. I mean, Marquette should be good, but they had a lot of people transfer for you know what I'm saying, for whatever reason. But like I said, man, the Big East, Butler, I don't know, man. They the one kid from last year, the battle kid, he transferred from, it didn't work out for whatever reason. A lot of when Butler loses a transfer, it's kind of always under the radar, right? But like I don't know, man. That's it. When I looked at what Butler had, what they have on paper, and you know what I'm saying, what they kind of lost you know what I'm saying, with Baldwin being the biggest one, biggest piece that they lost, man, I would even a little bit further than eighth in the Big East.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one team I really like, obviously last year, Seton Hall, they had, I can't think of the guard's name, because I just remember him going up against Butler. Yeah, Powell. And just scoring machine, and thank God, because I think I had Seton Hall in that game, and it was just back and forth to cover. But yeah, Seton Hall is going to be good again. Right now, they're projected third in the conference. A team I like that's fifth, who could make some noise come March, I like Providence. Ed Cooley and that squad there out there in Providence, I like them. They're going to be one of my sleeper teams this year, Providence.
Hey, you know who they play next week?
down in Bloomington, eh?
What's that?
They play the team down in Bloomington, right?
Yeah, they play the Hoosiers down in the Maui Invitational in Asheville, North Carolina.
Wouldn't that suck? You're going to go to Maui and nope, you're going to Asheville, North Carolina. So looking bad there. Moving over to probably me and John's, one of our favorite schools of all time, Ball State University, John, Mid-American Conference. John, did you know that Khalid Al-Amin, who used to play for UConn, did you know his son plays for Ball State?
Did not know that, man. Well, I did not know that. I didn't know that. I knew the name, but I didn't think that, you know, they were two and two together.
That's his son. Yeah, Khalid Al-Amin's son plays at Ball State.
That's fine.
So Cardinals are looking good this year, guys. Right now they've got them number three in the Mid-American Conference. They're expecting big things down there or up there in Muncie. To add on to what they did last year with James Whitford. So I like Ball State.
Last year they finished a surprising third, because I think the preseason had them finishing like seventh or eighth.
No, they were first in the conference, tied for first.
No, I'm talking about the preseason.
Gotcha.
So like, no, man, this is definitely a year where they take another step up, where they're hoping. Got a lot of different exotic guard play they can come up with. Ball State can. They are still a program, unfortunately, they're still woefully thin at the center position and at the power forward position, right? But like I said, they got great guard play, and they got the kid from Cathedral. I can't think of his name right now. Shame on me. But this is the second year. But he was MAC Freshman of the Year last year. And like I said, they Whitford has put together a great culture. Up there at Ball State, and he's got another international guy from Finland that plays for Ball. Dude, all these guys' names escape me right now. I mean, I do all my dang on homework for it, and then I can't remember all these guys' names. But like I said, man, he's put together a pretty good team up there at Ball State, and if they, I don't know, man, if they got them finishing third, who said they can't win the whole freaking conference?
Yeah. Last year they finished first in their division, tied with Northern Illinois. They won a big game on the last regular season night against Northern Illinois at Northern Illinois, because I remember the stupid black, the whole court's black up there. So number one, you can't see anything. The lines are red, so that makes it worse to watch on TV. And I had Ball State money line and spread, and they won that game outright. So that, I remember that very well. Here's something, guys, interesting about Ball State. Ball State has one of the older teams this year, average-wise. In college basketball, yep. Besides BYU, they've got two 6-year guys. They got a 5th-year guy mixed in with young guys, small guys, tall guys, and shooters. They've got everything you need, that you would want in each position for, and this is their highest, this year is their highest Ken Pom ranking, national ranking since 2005, coming in at 116.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerron Coleman is their dude. He's their Mr. Do It All their guy. He's a guard / forward / second leading rebound on the team. You know what I'm saying? He like I said, he was the MAC Freshman of the Year. They can come with you all type of guard play like Brandon, like I said, man. But like I said, I wish they had another big. Like if they had like one more big, like one more 6'10", 11 guy, man, you mess around and think Ball State go to the Elite Eight this year. I think they'll be that good.
Put them on up. Put Michigan on upset watch. By the way, Ball State at Michigan, December 2nd. Upset watch, Michigan, right there.
Official.
So just like in football.
I love.
Oh wow.
So Let's see, guys. Let's do SEC real quick, just because it's much time we got. We got about 10 minutes. SEC real quick. Kentucky obviously is coming back with their squad. I just saw today that Auburn is going to did a self-inflicting postseason ban this year, based off of the findings from the Chuck Person recruiting thing that happened there. So they are going to sit out the postseason this year, which is fine because it's COVID. But really, Tennessee and Kentucky are your top two teams. And then I had to look in my eyes again. I made sure I wasn't looking at football, but Alabama at number three.
Some of that football money is getting over to the basketball program.
That's right. I think they're playing in that Maui Invitational in Nashville as well, Alabama.
Look out for them. Yeah, last year they're coming off a 16-15 season, but they've got some recruits coming in there. Right now they've got the number three backcourt in the conference behind Kentucky and Tennessee. Nick, since I know you love this team so much, what are we expecting this year out of this Kentucky team?
Well, I mean, a bunch of cheaters like always, I suppose.
I think they
always reload. That's what they do. I mean, they have a top recruiting class again this year. You know, I know they lost, you know, several guys to the draft, but, you know, they'll reload. And the thing about it is the SEC is, you know, they're a football conference. They're not a basketball conference. So Kentucky can go in there and dominate year in and year out. So,
yeah,
it is what it is. Get used to seeing them at the top of the SEC every year.
John?
Like I said, man, Kentucky's running a G League team, man. If they don't win the conference, man, they won't fire Cal. But he's got enough on his bench to probably win the SEC, man. So,
yeah, looking at one team that the worst team right now they have in that conference is Vanderbilt. Jerry Stackhouse and that Vanderbilt squad's got some work to do this year. And, you know, coming in at number 12 in that conference, Tom Crean. You lose Anthony Edwards, and Georgia's going to have a down year, it looks like, this coming up year for Tom Crean down there.
That's a shame.
It's such a shame.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you what's a shame, Nick, is the fact that Wade, I can't think of his last name, but he's still the coach at LSU. How in the world is he still the coach at LSU?
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. I would have said the same thing about Greg Marshall, but you saw he's out of there. So
yeah, he's gone. Now we just need Sean Miller gone too.
Yeah, just not his brother.
Hey, you guys had your chance to get rid of him and get the new Chicago Bulls head coach this year. This was the year to do it if you really wanted Billy Donovan.
No, I'm good on that.
Hey, is everybody good now down there? I know last year we didn't get to talk about it, have you on for, but is everybody good down? We don't have to talk anymore about, you know, Bobby Knight and what Bobby Knight thinks and when's Bobby Knight. We're all good now, right? We can put it to bed. Bobby came. He did his thing.
Sure, yeah. It was good to see him there, man. I mean, he belongs there, you know. Everybody loves him. So it was just good to see him back at center court where he belongs.
Nick, some of your you'd like to do last year in our preview show and even March Madness was some of your sleeper teams or sleeper players to keep an eye on. I'm sure you've got a little list, hopefully compelled this year for everybody to keep an eye on.
I mean, you know, one team that, you know, they were real good last year. I just feel like a lot of people are going to think they're going to drop off, and they will probably drop off a little bit, losing a lottery pick. That tends to happen, but it's the Dayton Flyers. Their guy, Jalen Crutcher, he's a point guard for him. You know, the team wasn't only Obi Toppin last year, I guess is my point. They got this guy, Jalen Crutcher. He's going to be damn good this year. And they got some other guys as well. So I think the Flyers are a team, even though I think they had a chance truly to win the national title last year. Uh-huh. I think they're still going to be good, and a lot of people are kind of sleeping on them a little bit. even after last year.
Okay. Dayton Flyers. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I didn't look. There was one team I didn't look at. I thought they lost when Obi left. It was kind of an empty cupboard down there in Dayton.
It was more than just him last year. I mean, granted, yeah, it's tough to replace a lottery pick. I get that. And I'm not saying they're going to be a national title contender. I'm just saying people are overlooking them. And remember that name, Jalen Crutcher. He's a good guard. He's a really good player. So.
Okay. Last thing I have, and I'll go to you two, real quick on the ACC side of it. I do like Florida State again this year. Obviously they just lost their top guy. I can't think of his name. He just went NBA draft. But I do like Florida State. Yes. Thank you. North Carolina, it's probably a good thing. North Carolina had COVID, the COVID hit, because that would have been the first year they missed the NCAA tournament. And I don't know how long. And they're going to bounce back this year. Obviously, you know, they lost Cole Anthony, but they're going to rebuild. So they're going to come back. And I expect them to be strong. North Carolina will be up there in that top four, top five of the ACC. Louisville, Chris Mack, I don't think they're getting enough respect from the ranking that I saw with them. I've seen them down at number six in the ACC, which surprised me. Obviously Duke Blue Devils reloading. This is the first year I can remember Duke not having John, and, you know, with us kind of being Duke guys, this first year that they don't have that guy that's like a Zion Williamson or a Jason Tatum or an Austin Rivers. That's that kind of main go, or Kyrie Irving, like those go-to players. This is kind of an all around like team, what Duke has coming in with them this year.
Mm-hmm. The superstars, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to go into stealing Dick Vitale's, you know what I'm saying, taglines, but yeah, those PT peers that frequent the Duke the last couple of years, they're not there this year, which doesn't bode well when they have to play North Carolina, because guess what North Carolina got? A bunch of, you know what I'm saying, North Carolina, you know what I'm saying, Mr. Basketballs and McDonald's All-Americans, including Puff Johnson, who I swear, man, when I watched his game tape, man, it's like the three-pointers and the, you know, and 15-footers that he shoots, man, are like layups. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, so he's the brother of the Phoenix Sun, Cam Johnson. But, like, they got bigs up front in North Carolina. You said they lost Cole Anthony. That was kind of a win, man. Cole Anthony never was good. He was just there to wear the North Carolina uniform. He didn't want to play in the G League or whatever, and that's what it was, man. He really wasn't embraced like that. So, but like, no, man, I like Virginia as well, man. I think this is their. You know what I'm saying? They're the new blue blood. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, on the block. You know what I'm saying? I kind of like them. They've got a second year. They've got another lineage player in Abdul Rahim. His son Jabari Abdul Rahim plays for Virginia now. So again, man, they, you know what I'm saying, Tony Bennett is put together, you know what I'm saying, another team to make a run this year. And it's balanced. Like I said, he's got juniors and seniors, and he's got, like, you know what I'm saying, special, quote unquote, special McDonald's All-Americans, NBA Fowler, you know what I'm saying, used to play.
Yeah. They got the transfer, Sam Hauser from Marquette.
Yeah, sure do. So again, man, I think, you know what I'm saying, Duke might not be in the top three. They'll be in the conversation, man, because again, Coach K is Coach K, and he's going to put out this is the team I like to watch him coach anyway. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes something's lost, and you know, you only got Zion Williamson or Cam Reddish for a small sample size. You know what I mean? So, like I said, man, talent wise, it's Virginia, it's North Carolina, and there you go.
Yep, absolutely. And then, we talked about Nick. Get your thoughts real quick on ACC.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, to me, Virginia is a team I think that might drop off a little bit this year. That would be my prediction. I actually kind of like Duke to run away with it. I like Duke for sure to win the ACC. I know they might not have your big name like you were saying, but they still got their guys. What's that?
I mean, they still got their guys. They got a freshman point guard, Jeremy Roach. Goldwire returns. Wendell Moore returns. Matthew Hurt, who was supposed to be big last year, he comes back with a little bit more. I think the key is going to be Jalen Johnson, the new center coming in. Freshman center. He is the most college-ready freshman post player that Duke's had in the last 10 years, is what the latest scouting report is for this Jalen Johnson, 6'9", 220 freshman. We'll see what he can do.
And they got the ultimate trump card with Coach K on the sidelines. I mean, coaching at the end of the day is huge in college basketball, so don't sell that short.
Absolutely. Okay, real quick, as we come to the end of the show, predictions, way too early, national champion predictions. That way when March Madness comes around, I can say, well, we each three had these teams. John, I'm going to put you on the spot first. As of right now, in your head, who's cutting down the nets in April here in Indianapolis?
Creighton.
What? Creighton?
Greg McDermott and the Creighton. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. All right.
It's 2020. It's 2020, yeah, buddy.
It is. I guess they're going to play no fans. COVID, this is their year to do it, I guess.
Wow.
Nick, your
too
early prediction.
Hey, I'm going to go a little bit off the grid, too. I mean, maybe not this year. Certainly, they're ranked very highly. But I'm gonna say the Gonzaga. Gonzaga gets it done. And, I think they were poised. They were 31-2 last year, ready to rock and roll into the tournament. They had already won their conference tournament in a landslide. And, I mean, they bring back a lot of what they had from last year. So I just don't see any reason to believe that they're not going to be a force to be reckoned with. So give me the Zags.
Okay. And I'm going to go with Virginia to win the national title right now. Virginia is my team to win the I told you it was going to be crazy. Right now I like Virginia. I like the team they're bringing in here. This year, obviously, they've got some guys coming. They lost Key and they lost Diake last year, but they got the 12th year point guard still, Clark. He's still with them. That's shocking to me that he's still. That's like his 13th year. They got Morsel. They're bringing back. They get a transfer with Sam Hauser. Jay Huff is back, the backup center who last year. And then they've got their new guys coming in, Carson McCordle and Trey Murphy III coming in for this team. I like them. And they can keep it to a 50-50 ball game. They're going to be up there at the top of the ACC with Duke and North Carolina and Louisville. But I like Virginia right now, and probably when we do the March Madness special for the brackets, I'm probably going to take Duke. But until then, I'm taking Virginia. So, perfect.
I like it.
I know, right? boys, real quick, thoughts on the Big Ten. Big Ten announced their schedule. We've got Christmas Day games. We're going to play 20 games total. And then the Big Ten tournament's going to be March 10th through the 14th in Chicago. Purdue and IU are playing January 14th. And also, I believe, the last day of the league on March 6th. So, thoughts with the Big Ten schedules?
I hadn't even seen it yet. Although, you know, I was looking at it, it's something earlier, and I'm not sure every team plays every team. And if that's the case, if you don't play everybody at least once, I don't understand that.
So it says over the course of the conference season, I'm looking at the release right now, schools will play 7 teams twice, once home and once road, and 6 teams once, with 3 of those games being at home and the other 3 away. For the maximum flexibility and the potential of rescheduling of games this year, schedule is built with 2 sets of collapsible buys during January 18th through the 21st, the 25th through the 28th, and then the end of February. So you've got, 7 teams twice and then 6 teams once. Yeah, that's only 13. Well, yeah, that's everybody. That's 13 of the 14 teams.
Yeah.
You can't play yourself.
I'm looking at it right now. I've got Nebraska's schedule pulled up, and I do not see Northwestern on their schedule.
Well, maybe it's happening now. Chris Collins, that way he doesn't have to worry about losing to them.
Well, I would think that they would want to play each other. Those are the two worst teams. They want to play each other. They don't want to play all the other teams and not get one crack at the other worst team, you know?
Yeah. First game for Purdue is against Ohio State in conference on the 16th of Wednesday, December 16th. And then it looks like the Hoosiers play a week later, Wednesday the 23rd against Northwestern at home. So Purdue with Ohio State and Northwestern and Indiana open up Big Ten play. And then the day after Christmas, Nick, right after you get your new Indiana Hoosier PJs, Hoosiers at Illinois.
Yeah, I see that.
So,
yeah,
perfect.
Tough one.
Any final thoughts? We'll go first with Nick for the college basketball season.
Well, I mean, I just hope we can get this whole season in. You know, I'm just so disappointed the timing of when this whole COVID thing happened and missing out on March Madness last year. So just keeping my fingers crossed that, you know, we can do our best to keep everyone safe and get all these games played and actually see a tournament this year.
Absolutely. Perfect. Nick, we will, once the season gets rolling here in the Big Ten Conference here in January or so, we'll get you back on. We'll kind of do a kind of early thoughts on how the season's going, what's working, what's not working, and we'll bring you back on because anytime you come on here, we get good positive feedback from our listeners.
Hey, that sounds great. I'll look forward to it, gentlemen.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks for coming on.
All right, John, that's Nick Peterson, our college basketball guru. John, I'm ready for this college basketball, buddy. Wednesday's going to be a full day, a lot of betting going on, and then you got Turkey on Thursday. But also, let's not forget Wednesday night. We got a show Wednesday night, Crossroads Sports Radio, Wednesday night. You get us twice this week. Think of it as a holiday special.
Yep.
We're going to be recapping the NFL. We've got college football. We've got free agency and trades and Pacers to talk about.
Yep.
A lot of things to talk about this Wednesday night. I'm excited for it. And The Undertaker.
Right. They'll be talking about all that, and especially the Indiana Hoosier football team and what Hoosier mania is spread across this land. So, no, man, can't wait for Wednesday. Just to recap tonight's efforts, man, like I said, I'm hopeful, just like Nick is hopeful, just like Brandon Reef is hopeful, man. Till then, man, thanks for listening.